A number of years ago now, the art critic Robert Hughes presented a PBS series about modern art. At this time, that meant Lee Krasner, Jackson Pollock, and the rest. And that series on modern art was titled The Shock of the New. This wasn't your Norman Rockwell kind of painting, in other words. Preachers and Bible teachers have a different task. I believe that task is to announce the shock of the old, the radicality of the familiar, the threatening themes of our time-worn tradition. According to Matthew's gospel, that was expressed one day this way by Jesus. He was being tested by religious authorities trying to trap him. They came and asked, "O teacher, what is the greatest commandment of them all?" And Jesus answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and a second is like it. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus told those who were testing him was not new. The Hebrew scriptures, the prophets, the great rabbis all said God commanded both love of God and love of neighbor. What Jesus did that was refreshing was tying them together, saying they're of one cloth, they're of one piece, indispensable and inseparable. Love of God and love of neighbor. The theme this morning is this. Biblical religion is for three, God and self and neighbor. A triangle represents it best. Now, as an aside, let me say, I'm using the word religion on purpose because I think it's getting a bad rap these days, don't you? People will often say, "I'm not religious, but I am spiritual." Because when you say the word religion, people think organized religion, and then people start thinking about authoritarianism and punishmentalism and oppressive theology and boredom. But that's not the root of the word religion, you know, at its best. Do you see in the middle of the word religion the same root that is present in the word ligament? Religion, ligament. What religion is that which binds us together like a ligament in our body. It unifies us, it keeps us together, and makes us strong. It connects us. And real religion connects us all together in a community, even of the whole human family. So biblical religion is for three, God and self and neighbor. Ernest T. Campbell has said there's some people who don't buy this formulation. Some believe religion is for one. The God inside is the only God there is. Believing is merely projecting our inner needs on something that isn't there. To pray is to speak oneself in a refined way. Thomas Paine got it right. My mind is my church. The God inside is the only God there is. A circle might represent this position. That's religion for one, but that isn't biblical religion. Some go on to say religion is for two, God and self, God and me and God, moi and Yahweh. We're pals and buddies. A symbol here might be a horizontal pole or a vertical pole with the individual at one end and God at the other. Now, of course, a personal experience of God is very important, but it can't only be that when it comes to living religious faith. One wise person said, if religion doesn't begin with the individual, it doesn't begin, but if it ends with the individual, it ends. Biblical faith never says we're to navel gaze, self-satisfied saints while the world bleeds and burns. Because real religion, biblical religion, is for three: God and self and neighbor all together. This is the religion that's at the heart of the Bible. So the Ten Commandments point us outward to others. Honor your father and your mother. Do not steal. Do not covet. And upward to God. So the prophets start saying things like, what does God require of us but to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with God? To know God is to do justice. Take away from me all your solemn assemblies and all your feast days and your religious observances, and let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Of course, then Jesus came along, started telling us to pray a Lord's Prayer. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then Jesus taught the parable of the great judgment depicted in this window, which finally tells us, as we do unto the hungry and the thirsty and the imprisoned and the sick, we do to Jesus himself. And you remember when Jesus gave instructions about going to church? He said, if you're on your way to church and you have your offering with you, and you remember you have something against another, leave your offering right where you are and go and reconcile with that person, and then come and make your offering. Because biblical religion is for three: God, self, and neighbor. A triangle represents it best. We know this most vividly when we see it lived out in the lives of others. One of the great medieval saints was Julian of Norwich. She was a prioress in a Benedictine house in medieval England. Many pilgrims came from all over the region so that she might give them wisdom and guidance. She said, all I do is listen. They say no one listens to them, the sick and the sorrowing and the lonely and the unwanted, young and old, rich and poor. They all come and they tell me their griefs and I listen. I do not say anything, I listen. And when they are done, they say, oh, Julian, you are so wise. You are so understanding. And here's where the biblical religion for three comes in. She said, I fully well believe that God's Spirit is in all of us, guiding us, leading us, speaking for us when we do not have the words to speak, gently showing us our lives when we cannot see the truth about them, so that we might have pity and mercy and forgiveness, even on ourselves. She spoke of Jesus as her friend. She said Jesus showed us scenes from his life, and then she said Jesus showed me scenes from my own life under the love of God. And at her darkest moment, she said, Jesus came to her, and she could finally say the words that have made her famous: all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Another saint who lived out this biblical religion for three was Harriet Beecher Stowe, the great 19th century novelist who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin. She had always been an anti-slavery activist. But then in 1850 came the Fugitive Slave Act, and it pushed her over the top with anger. She went to church, and in church she had a vision of Uncle Tom's death, and she wept in church. And then she went home and wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, which changed the whole face of the anti-slavery movement in the United States. It ignited the North. Now, I have read that at the beginning of the Civil War, she went to visit Abraham Lincoln. She wanted to encourage him to free the slaves sooner than she thought he was ready to. Her daughter was there and reports that as soon as she stepped in the door, President Lincoln said, "So you're the little woman who started this great war." She not only wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, she also wrote hymns for the church, including some sweetly mystical hymns. Still with Thee is one of her hymns. So you see, she put it all together, God and self and neighbor. She knew the Underground Railroad timetables, and she knew the church's prayer book, and she was devoted to both of them. And did you read the paper this morning? I commend Rika Basu's column to you. It tells the story of the chaplain at the United Methodist-related Cornell College. I see some graduates up there in the balcony. You should be very proud. Reverend Catherine Quayle Engel, chaplain at Cornell College, who does a wonderful job greeting all the students in the fall from the many different faith traditions that come to United Methodist Colleges now, was on campus this summer when many out-of-state workers who were here for flood relief in Iowa were brought in and housed at the college. And she visited, and she got to know that they were being paid less than the minimum wage. It was supposed to have been a computer error. They were not given health precautions, no tetanus shots, very dangerous jobs. They were charged $49, I guess, a week to go back and forth to work by this company. And she's witnessed to the importance of the church and the whole community of Iowa responding to this kind of treatment of working people. Well, all the commandments of God are given for our blessing, not as a burden, but as a blessing, so that we might live fully, including the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commandments rest all the law and all the prophets. Amen.